Good day, and welcome to the Talk It Out podcast. My name is Neil Bailey Harper, and today it's based on a true story, My World in Black and White. The music I'm listening to comes from the Master Blaster, the one and only Steve Land Morris, the great Stevie Wonder. The song is I Am Singing. Es una historia. It is a story. Thanks for listening. Hope you like the podcast and want to share it and also wish to subscribe. We're available on 13 different platforms and listen to now in 7 different countries. And today, it's based on a true story. And let me also say, whether you know me or not, I take pride in the truth. If I say I'm going to tell you something based on a true story, I want to tell you exactly how it happened. But because it's based on a true story, and this story happened yesterday. It happened yesterday. But it took me back to some yesterdays before that. Yesterday's long time ago. See, some things just trigger things in my mind. And those triggers take me back or they take me forward. This is based on a true story. And what I'm thinking of is growing up in Philadelphia. I am a black man, okay? So for those of you who don't know, I am a black man. And I will say this, I am a black man, which means my color is dark. I grew up in a neighborhood in North Philadelphia where you just went along with what things, how you learned, okay? I worked in a grocery store, and they were run by 4 brothers in their maybe 20, 30 years older than me, and they were all fairly light-skinned men. And one of them who I really loved, and I loved them all, but Douglas was a really, really funny guy to me. And Douglas always told me, he called me Algerian Brown. And when I asked him what that meant, he said, that means you're a shade darker than black. And then I was called Sam the Garbage Man, stole my mother when and away he ran. That was a little rip. This is part of my world. But at the same time, growing up in Philadelphia in the 70s, as a black teenager, was something that you had to navigate a certain way. There is a special, I believe it's on Netflix. It's called 40 Years a Prisoner, and it's based on John Africa Family, the MOVE organization in Philadelphia in the late 70s and early 80s. I watched that. And I'm not ashamed to say I had certain feelings watching that. It put me back into Philadelphia in the 70s. And if you've ever heard the name Frank Rizzo, who was then the mayor of Philadelphia, and Ed O'Neill, who was the chief of police, and Ed Randell, who used to be the senator from the state of Pennsylvania. All of these people are in this documentary, in their own words, in their own images. And you see and you feel the city in a way that anybody from Philadelphia can tell you about it. But if you want to watch that, you'll get a better understanding for what I'm saying. And as a black teenager, there were certain things that we learned how to do to navigate yourself from day to day. Didn't matter how smart I was. Didn't matter if how good an athlete some of us were or a musician some of us were. Once you weren't on the playing field or in the choir or band room, you were a black kid. And I do remember at that time we had a couple of malls. Well, before they were kind of like the first malls. It was Gallery Place, which was on Market Street downtown in Philadelphia. Now, wait, this is not the story I'm going to tell you. This is the backstory to the story I want to tell you. But there was a Gimbel's and a Strawbridge's, and I remember going down to those places and getting on the bus to go down to those places and knowing that I could not or did not wish to ride sitting behind or walking behind any white woman on the street, on the bus, in the grocery store, nothing like that. I did not want to be caught behind a white woman as a black teenager. Call it whatever you want to call it. It's just from where I came and what was going on and how I felt I needed to deal with it. That's what I did. You know, if I was walking behind someone on the street, I would cross to the other side. If I were on a bus, on a trolley, or on a train, I would make sure if there was another seat, two rows available back, I would take that one. Again, how you learn to navigate the day-to-day. But I also always wonder, why are people scared of what they don't know or someone they don't know? This is Stevie Wonder and Dionne Warwick from The Woman in Red. The song is Weakness. Because the other thing I did growing up, watching a lot of movies in black and white, there was the occasional movie where it came that a black man and a white woman, or a white man and a black woman, wanted to fall in love or were falling in love. And you saw all the hate that surrounded that. And it made me think that, wow, love in itself is a weakness, but it's also a strength. And the strength you must find in your weaknesses in order to live your life are unfair. See, I'm gonna say that again. I think love is a weakness, but love is a strength also. It's both. And I felt for people of different colors who just fell in love and had to find so much strength in their weakness in order to be happy in the one life we are given, because of someone else who has nothing to do with them. And I wondered why we were that way. Now, I'm going to also say this. As a black man around a lot of black women, both in my immediate family and in this neighborhood, it was unheard of for them, for a black man, to want to be with a white woman. I never had that thoroughly explained to me. I can hear the chatter in my head right now from what they were saying, but that's just loud noise. I never made sentences out of what was said to me. So, I always felt that, why does color? Because it's not your heart. Why does color cause such a problem for love? Whether it's, you see all of these movies now. There was another movie in the 70s called Brian's Song. Maybe the 70s or 80s, I'm not sure. I think it was the 70s. But Brian's Song, about Brian Piccolo and Gale Sayers, two athletes who became best friends because one of them was sick. Well, the white one was sick. But that doesn't, they became best friends. But still, that relationship was put out as special. When I believe that if you were in the service, if you were in real, it could have happened every day. But we're forced to interpret them a certain way when you're young, because unless you had those personal experiences, you don't know. But I always do wonder, even to this day, why is it hard for people to have to use that weakness of love as a strength to prevent other people from involving themselves in their lives. The world in black and white, yeah, it's going to be black and white until we just deal with it in our own. But it's, and the other thing is too, it's not a corporate mentality. It only becomes a corporate, you can only see this as a corporate mentality once you deal with it individually. You know, once you no longer, you know, once I no longer have, which I don't, let me say that. But if you're the kind of person who will say to yourself, well, I have white friends and I have black friends. I'm thinking, why don't you just have friends? And lest that specific question is asked of you, are they white or are they black? Why would anyone introduce them that way? This is Stevie Wonder from In Square Circle. The song is Never In Your Sun. Here's my thought with this song. And I'm going to get to my story. But here's my thought with this song. A lot of us say we want to help somebody else. Yes, we can help each other, but a lot of us say we want to help somebody else. And that help comes, I wonder sometimes if that helping someone else is more helping yourself. You know, like a volunteering thing. Okay, do you volunteer on that one holiday that everybody else volunteers on? Or on that one really bad situation that could take place that everybody else might volunteer on? Or is it when someone needs a volunteer? Otherwise. Doctors, I used to wonder how back in the black and white of our world, in when if doctors are members of the Ku Klux Klan, and how can hospitals say we're not going to help somebody because of your skin color? Think about that. How can, and restaurants saying that they're not going to serve you because of your skin color. Professional athletes can entertain you but can't stay in the same place with you because of their skin color. The only reason I could think of that you would feel that way is that in some, the mentality must be that I am not a person. If the only difference we have is skin color, but still you chose not to see someone else as a person who could use the same water fountain as you. A person that can come to get help. I mean, if you're a doctor, how can you not help someone because of the color of their skin? How? And these, you know, we want to hide in group mentalities about this, but this is an individual thought, an individual process. And I'm not giving a pass to grown-ups who say they're persuaded by the group. No, no. This is individual. Okay. So let me tell you where I'm going at this with this story. Yesterday, I live in Alexandria, Virginia, and there's a major thoroughfare called Richmond Highway, Route 1. I'm taking a walk on Route 1, which I customarily do. And I stop at the local convenience store. Now, they are all COVID responsible. So there's a 6-foot separation between each customer. At the time I went in the store, there were 3 people in line all in front of me. I get in the store and I assume my position is the 4th person in line. When the people in front of us leave, the gentleman directly in front of me was a white gentleman about 6'4". And he had on construction type working clothes. You know, outdoor type working clothes. And there was a large truck out front with a company name on it that I care not to. Well, I can't recite because I don't know. But I know it was a company construction truck. And it seemed to match the hat that he had on his head or the shirt name that he had on. Now, once most people went out the store, another gentleman came in who was a black gentleman, younger than me, maybe in his 30s or 40s, who stood behind me at the appropriate distance. Well, at some point in time, we were the only three customers in the store with the teller who at, I'm going to say, was Hispanic. Because he looked Hispanic to me. That's the only reason I can say that. Well, when the gentleman in front of me was purchasing his items and he had a drink and he had a sandwich of some sort and it came to less than $10, I remember $7, $8, something like that, he pulled out a what I will assume be a credit card because that's what he said it was. And he told the teller, listen, this is a credit card. This ain't no chicken shit food stamp or welfare card. Now, the teller didn't respond. Myself, the black man behind me, we didn't respond either. He put his card in the machine and the machine declined it. He tried it again and the machine declined it. And he tried it again and the machine declined it again. And the teller asked him, did he have another method of payment? And the gentleman, I guess he didn't, because he said, I'll be right back. And he left the drink and the sandwich there and went outside. This, again, is Stevie Wonder, Inner Visions. The song is, He's Mr. Know-It-All. Now, when he left the store, I chuckled. The black man behind me chuckled. We had not said anything to each other while, or to him, based on the comment he made when he was in the store. But when he left the store, we just talked a little bit. And the black man behind me was very, a little bit more blunt than I was in his response. And he was saying that he knew, the gentleman in front of us, the white man, knew what he was saying. And why would he say that? Now, it was obvious to both of us, even though we didn't discuss it, that it was a shot to try to get under somebody's skin. These are serious times we're in now. The thoughts in my mind are, okay, the man didn't have $10 to pay for what he wanted. Not only on that card, he came up with no other method of payment. I don't know if he's hurting or not. Or I don't know if he's trying to hurt somebody. See, I'm 206 years old. You don't fall for that bait unless you're not focused on it being bait. For him to say, this is no chicken shit, welfare, or food stamp card, and the teller is obviously Hispanic, and there's two black men in the store, and here's this white man saying this, who's he trying to get at, and why? And why is he hurting that bad that he feels the need to do that? Okay, I leave the store. I go out the door, he's leaning on his truck directly in front of me, and he makes eye contact, and I make eye contact back, and he says, you have a fucking problem. And I said, no, I don't. It's a great day. And I kept walking. And it took me back to the fact that I didn't want that to be behind that white woman when I was a teenager, thinking that I would do her harm. And now all of a sudden I'm saying, I don't want this white man behind me because I don't know if he's trying to do me harm. But I was still singing. I said, I'm having a great day. And I kept walking. I was ready if he walked too, but he didn't. But why are we still, see, we're hurting so bad as a society that individually, it seems like we're trying to take it out on each other. I don't know what happened when the other brother walked out the store. You know, I didn't hear anything on the news, so I imagine everything was okay. But let's be better. And it starts with me. He might be Mr. Know-It-All. I don't know shit. I don't. I just know who I am. Listen, talk to me. I want to talk to you. This is the Talk It Out podcast. My world in black and white. Have a great day, everybody. Talk to you soon.